It is Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, and Cox Sports TV, and here for the Locked On LSU podcast. After LSU dominates Georgia Southern 55-3 in the season opener on Saturday, everything that could go right did go right for LSU. Offensively, the Tigers put up almost 500 yards of offense, five different running backs. Got involved in the action all effectively. 14 different players caught a pass. Joe Burrow with five passing touchdowns in the first half. Tigers would score on five consecutive possessions. LSU was 7 of 7 in the red zone with seven touchdowns. They did not turn the football over. Defensively, the Tigers allowed less than 100 yards of total offense and just 3 points. They did force two turnovers. LSU was just overwhelming for a team like Georgia Southern on Saturday. Now, the challenge gets more sincere this week with the Tigers going to Texas, and we'll get into some of that today, but mostly throughout the rest of the week. But let's this segment talk offense, next segment talk defense, and then maybe we'll look ahead a little bit. And it's impossible to start with the offense without talking about Joe Burrow, who, by the way, today, Monday, was named SEC Offensive Player of the Week for his performance against Georgia Southern with a 23 of 27 day for 278 yards, five touchdowns, no interceptions. It was so much fun to watch this LSU offense, and LSU fans have waited a long time to see an offense look like that. And, man, it was worth the wait because LSU was just magnificent. Here was Ed Ogeron on Burrow.
You know, Joe is a tremendous leader for us. We were coming in from a pregame warm-up, and he was hitting his helmet against the wall. And just love him. You know, it's game day, man. He's on, and he's a good quarterback. Thank God that we have him. He's a good leader. So I'm just happy for him.
Now, one big question this week was how much of this new offense would LSU show? And Joe Burrow joked about that after the game.
We showed everything we got, all of it. Make sure you write that.
Obviously, LSU didn't show everything, and Ed Ogeron explained after the game.
No, we didn't show it all. We didn't need to. You know, the stuff was working on 11 personnel, but we got four wides, we have five wides. We have an empty package that we haven't used, you know.
Of course, LSU didn't have to show everything, but they did show a lot, and a lot of wrinkles as well. There was a play in the first half where Clyde Edwards-Helaire lined up in the shotgun with Joe Burrow offset to his right. I like showing those wrinkles. It's something else that you make Texas think about when they have to defend LSU. They did use all five running backs. Clyde Edwards-Helaire got the first two series, and then Leonard Fournette got the third series. Then Ty Davis-Price got the fourth series, and then John Emery came in fifth, and then Chris Curry after that. So one of the things that I've talked about a lot here during the summer and leading up to the season is LSU may not end up with a guy with 200, 250 carries this year. They may not have the bell cow, a guy that's a 20-carry-a-game type back. But I think what you will have is five guys that all contribute, and you'll always have fresh legs in the ball game. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 9 carries. Emery and Fournette each had 6. Ty Davis-Price had 5. Chris Curry had 2. Even Miles Brennan carried it 3 times. Something we didn't see was Joe Burrow run the football, which is what we know something they can do. Burrow had just 1 carry for 2 yards. So overall, I like the fact that they were able to get all of the backs involved. As far as receivers, 14 different players caught a pass, including 6 wide receivers. Justin Jefferson, Terrace Marshall had 4 catches. 3 of those went for scores. Jamar Chase had 2 catches for 21 yards, including a touchdown. Derek Dillon caught a pass. Trey Palmer caught a pass. Devontae Lee caught a pass. So 6 different wideouts caught a ball in the game against Georgia Southern. Again, everything LSU wanted to do, they did. It all worked. One of the big questions coming into the season, of course, was the offensive line. They held up beautifully, did not allow a sack. Georgia Southern did manage 7 tackles for loss in the ball game, but that isn't always just on the offensive line. For example, one of the tackles for loss was the screen pass they ran to Devontae Lee, which he caught behind the line of scrimmage and lost a yard on the play. So that's a tackle for loss, but that's not on the offensive line. That's just Georgia Southern reading the play effectively and making a play. So Sadiq Charles did not play in the ball game. So Dar Rosenthal and Badara Traora rotated at left tackle. The one hold-your-breath moment came in the first half when Rosenthal was at left tackle. He missed an inside stunt, and someone got Joe Burrow, popped him right in the mouth. And that's disappointing, but for the most part, the line held up, get rid of the ball quickly, worked, and the quarterbacks didn't face a tremendous amount of pressure in the ball game, which was great to see. I also really liked Thad Moss in the ball game. The first offensive possession for LSU, first play was an incomplete pass intended for Ja'Marr Chase. Then they ran Clyde Edwards-Helaire on second down. They had a third and three, 17 yards over the middle to Thaddeus Moss. Just shows a new element in this offense. He also caught the 44-yarder in the second half. So they'll spread it around. They'll use the tight end. And that was pretty evident this weekend for LSU. I also really liked Ed Ogeron's decision on the third offensive position possession to go for it on a fourth and two. That was the series where Joe Burrow really made his only bad throw of the day, where he underthrew Terrace Marshall in the end zone on a first down shot. Marshall had the defender beat. Joe just sort of underthrew it. Marshall kind of had to play defender and knocked it down. Well, they would end up with a fourth and two on that drive. They went for it. Leonard Fournette got the 2 yards, and then they'd score on the fade to Justin Jefferson in the end zone. So they took their shots when they needed to. They were able to run clock and run the ball effectively when they needed to. All in all, you know, we talked so much this offseason about this LSU offense and how people wondered if it really would change. And my line that I used all offseason was, this is going to look different. Like, Matt Canada's offense looked different. It just didn't work. So my comment all offseason was, it's going to look different. I don't know if it'll work, but it's going to look different. Well, Saturday it worked. The challenge gets more sincere this weekend going to Austin, but LSU goes to Austin, a 4.5-point favorite, largely on the backs of an offense that looks anything but like what an LSU offense has looked like for much of the last 20 years. LSU's always had a really solid defense. We'll talk about the defensive debut this past weekend against Georgia Southern when we return Locked on LSU, your team every day. We continue Locked on LSU, your team every day. Tigers a 55-3 winner over Georgia Southern. And so much has been made of the 55, of the offensive explosion, of the five first half touchdown passes. That has overshadowed the three. The 3 points that LSU allowed, the 98 total yards allowed to Georgia Southern, the 1.9 yards per carry LSU allowed to a team that runs the triple option, has a veteran offensive line that averages 4 years of experience, and that has a quarterback that's a returning starter and a running back that was a major FBS running back at Oklahoma State. LSU just throttled Georgia Southern early and often throughout that ball game, and man, was it fun to watch that defense fly around. At every level of the defense, LSU was dominant. So let's start and go through each level of the defense, what we saw. The defensive front seven just dominated this football game. I was surprised to see that Glenn Logan was on the field for the first snap and not Braden Fehoko. It was Glenn Logan who got the start opposite of Rashard Lawrence, and they all kind of made their presence felt. Tyler Shelvin started at nose, and you don't typically see a zero technique on the nose stuff a stat sheet. Generally, those guys are there to eat blocks and free up ends and linebackers to make tackles. But Tyler Shelvin came away with 6 tackles, including a tackle for loss. They had trouble moving Tyler Shelvin, and that was great to see. Maybe the play in the game plays on consecutive possessions where you had the feeling like in Rocky IV, the throw in the damn towel feeling, was on consecutive possessions where LSU just annihilated ball carriers and Shai Wirtz, the quarterback, forced fumbles and ultimately knocked Wirtz out of the game. On the third possession of the ball game for Georgia Southern, it was when Fehoko had jumped off sides and given Georgia Southern their first down of the game. They were facing a third down. Rashard Lawrence came on the backside, hit Shai Wirtz from behind, forced the fumble. Patrick Queen recovered it, darn near scooped and scored. The very next possession, they had a third and 17. That's when Kalevon Chasson hit Shai Wirtz, and forced the fumble that Grant Delpit recovered, and Chasson ultimately knocked Wirtz out of the game at that point. Kalyvon Chasson was awesome, and he, for me, was one of the biggest bright spots, because we know guys like Chasson physically, who are those athletic edge rushers. They can get off the edge and can affect the passer. What I'm not sure that I expected was how good Chasson would be at the point of attack in run defense and in cleaning up plays. Not only did he have the forced fumble, but there was another play where he brought the wood on the sideline where a ball carry had kind of gotten held up, and he went and finished the play and landed a big shot near the sideline. Kalyvon Chasson finished the day with 5 tackles, including the forced fumble that we mentioned. It was great to see him out there running around. At the next level, no Mike Divinity. So you had Jacob Phillips and Damone Clark start, and they were your leading tacklers. Phillips with 10, Clark with 9, and they rotated a bunch of guys in there. Patrick Queen played as well. I thought, look, Ed Ogeron all offseason talked about Damone Clark. Anytime he was in front of a microphone, he mentioned Damone Clark, and Clark rewarded him with a 9-tackle day, and here's what Ed Ogeron said about Damone Clark after the game.
Like I said in every interview, watch out for Damone Clark. And he was, you know, I look at the linebacker grades on a daily basis, and I see some 67%, and I see 100 about Damone Clark every day. And he came to work. He showed Dave that he can play tonight. Like I said, I think he's going to be a tremendous LSU linebacker.
They are deep and talented at linebacker, and they'll get Mike Divinity back for the game at Texas this weekend. The other guy I want to highlight is Jacoby Stevens, because I spent a lot of the summer talking about him, because one of the questions I'd get asked often is, okay, well, you got Chasson, one outside linebacker. Who starts opposite him? Well, they tried to figure that out a year ago when Chasson was injured, and they tried Ray Thornton, and they tried Andre Anthony, and they tried Travez Moore, and they even put Patrick Queen out there at one point. They tried everybody. Now, Michael Divinity played some outside backer and was really good a year ago, but he's kicked inside this year. So ultimately what Dave Aranda settled on was using Jacoby Stevens as like a queen piece on the chessboard, a guy kind of like Corey Thompson was, who was physical enough to play at the line of scrimmage and stop the run, athletic enough to rush the passer, and certainly had coverage skills so he could defend running backs and tight ends. So it almost stands to reason play 3 safeties, where you could have Delpit and Harris deep, and then you could play Jacoby Stevens in that sort of jack-of-all-trades role. Well, Stevens had 7 tackles in the game, a half a tackle for loss, and here was Ed Ogeron talking about Jacoby Stevens.
He's dangerous. He's got speed. He's a good tackler. He's a good rusher. We didn't get to rush him much tonight, and he's strong and he's physical. He's probably the strongest player pound-for-pound on our football team.
And as far as the secondary, not really challenged by a triple option offense, but when they were, they certainly rose to the challenge. Georgia Southern quarterbacks combined to go just 4 of 11 for 24 yards, a long of 12. That challenge gets much more sincere this weekend and going to Austin to face Sam Ellinger and the Texas offense, which we'll talk about throughout the course of the week, and we'll start to touch on here shortly because some of the LSU players were talking about it. But every factor of the LSU team on Saturday went well. Cade York was 2 for 2. That 38-yarder in the third quarter, 39-yarder in the third quarter, boy, just snuck that one inside the upright. But then in the fourth quarter, he boomed a 48-yarder. That was true. So all in all, LSU, no signs of rust. They were efficient. They were impressive. And they'll go to Texas, a 4.5-point favorite in Austin this coming weekend. All right, it's Locked On LSU, your team every day. We'll knock out a quick break, come back, and give you a quick thought on let's hear from some of the players that we're already talking about headed to Austin. And the NFL rosters have been cut down to 53. How are the Tigers looking there? We'll talk about it. Locked On LSU, your team. About it. Locked On LSU. We are wrapping up the Locked On LSU podcast, Monday edition, Labor Day edition. We will talk and let's hear from some of the players who talked about heading to Texas this weekend. But I got to remind you about No House Advantage. No House Advantage is taking an exciting new spin on daily fantasy sports. Instead of salary cap drafting, No House Advantage offers daily player prop contests. So download No House Advantage now from the App Store and use the code LOCKEDON to receive 2 free tokens when you purchase 2 tokens. That's a $10 value. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive 2 free tokens when you purchase 2. That's at No House Advantage. Download the app today. No house advantage. LSU heads to Texas's house this weekend, and some of the players are already starting to talk about it, including center Lloyd Cushenberry.
Gonna be a great matchup. You know, college game day. You know, it's atmosphere that everyone wants at the game. So the whole country's gonna be watching. They're a talented team and two historic programs, and we look forward to it.
Now, the one post-game comment that got the most attention is what Caleb Van Chasson said about Sam Ehlinger, who they played against each other in high school. Here's what Chasson said.
I knew it was coming. I saw it on the schedule as a recruit. I'm glad that we get to go against him again. I don't really find him too much as a threat. I mean, not taking a shot at him, but he uses his legs more than his arms. So just like high school, he has a decent arm on him, but it's more about his legs.
I'd imagine that will be a familiar chorus in the Texas locker room and team room throughout the course of this week with LSU coming in. And in some respects, Chasson is right. Sam Ehlinger's 6'3", 230. He can run the football. You know, a year ago as a sophomore at Texas, he ran for nearly 500 yards. I hate the fact that in college, sacks count against rushing statistics because it doesn't give you necessarily a true indication. But 16 touchdowns rushing tells you the story. But where Chasson is short-selling Sam Ehlinger is he threw for nearly 3,300 yards last year, 3,292, 25 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He is dangerous. He is effective. He is at home. He has NFL receivers. That Texas offense will be a legitimate challenge for LSU, a 3-year starter at quarterback running this offense that he knows very well with NFL talent around him. This is a very different challenge than Georgia Southern running the triple option. But stopping Sam Ehlinger from running the football is a big part of what LSU's cues will be. But the LSU secondary will be tested as well. We'll talk much more about LSU in Texas as we get through the week. You'll hear from Ed Ogeron on Tuesday of this week. Remember, so today, Monday, is Labor Day. So Coach O's press conference will be Tuesday of this week, although Tom Herman is meeting the media today, Monday. So on tomorrow's show, we'll let you hear some from the Texas head coach on getting ready for the LSU Tigers. One more quick note before we get out of here. 53-man rosters from the NFL cut down. Interesting this weekend to see Barkevious Mingo traded from Seattle to Houston as part of the Jadeveon Clowney deal. And also, congrats to former LSU Tiger Will Clapp, who made the Saints 53-man roster. There was an injury to Cam Tom, who went to IR, so that theoretically opened up that spot for Will Clapp after the Saints had brought in Nick Easton and drafted Eric McCoy. It seemed like Will was going to be the odd man out, but an injury opened the door. Now Will gets to go make the most of that opportunity. So the NFL season starts on Thursday. There's always more fluidity on rosters before the start of the season as guys from other rosters get cut, maybe get picked up. There are injuries like Alfred Blue, former LSU running back, now with Jacksonville, went to IR, so his season is over. But we'll talk about it a bit more later in the week whenever those 53-man rosters are finalized as we get into the start of week one of the NFL. So congrats to all the former Tigers who are now making their name in the NFL. All right, that's going to do it for us here on a Labor Day edition of the Locked On LSU podcast. As always, please like the podcast, subscribe, share, rate us on iTunes. That's massively helpful. And most importantly, be back tomorrow for Locked On LSU, your team every day.